Again, it's a great privilege and a great blessing for me to be with you all, people. It's amazing how God worked out another way for that I can come back and see you Pennsylvanians and Northerners. I love you people, and I thank God for you. Thank God for Maranatha, and it's just a blessing. I've been coming here now since 3 years, and God has been so good. And I bless the Lord this morning for His goodness, and thank God for this week, how God has blessed me with the Word of God and the sweet fellowship of the Spirit of God amongst us as brethren and also as sisters. So I'll give all praise and glory to our Lord, who's worthy of it. And I thank God for the salvation, the work of saving grace He has accomplished in my life, so that I could stand before you according to His call in my life to preach the Word of God. And I would encourage you this morning to bear with me. I am not a good English speaker, but I try to speak what God has for us this morning. And if you will, please turn your Bibles to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 60. The more I go in this Christian faith, I love the book of the Gospels, and I love the Gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Isn't that wonderful? "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek." All right, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. And I'll be reading through verse 19 to the end of the chapter. I have a lot of portion of scripture this morning, but we will see how God deals with us. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through though one rose from the dead. I believe our Word of God, which God has given us through in the form of Bible, I think it's the ultimate authority which speaks to men. And men don't have to preach. Because Bible talks about it all. And Bible preaches itself, then man can. So let's turn again to Matthew chapter 7. In verse 13 and 14, and also we'll look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, and 21. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Lord, we bless you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that God, you speak through the word of God. And Lord, we bless thee this morning, highlighting you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy that you have shown toward us. Lord, we bless thee because, Lord, not who we are, but who you are. Lord, we come boldly through Jesus Christ, claiming the victory in him. And we ask, Lord, the word of God be real to us in our lives this morning. Speak to your people, Lord, if somebody here is lost, Lord, who didn't know Christ Jesus as their Savior, I pray that, Lord, break their hearts and, Lord, bring them under thy subjection. And, Lord, I pray that, God, you save them this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are living in a generation, people, where people are not understanding the truth who God is. We just claim God as God, but not the God of all, of everything. I live in India, and I come from a place where we have about 2 to 3 million gods. And I dwell among them, I live with them, I see their culture, their traditions, the way of their life, and they live. But when I think, and when I come back and sit in my room and see the Bible and see the God of the Bible, I think there is something different between those 2 million gods and goddesses and this God of the Bible. And he is Jesus Christ. And here, we as Christians also don't understand the truth of who God really is, but still assume that God has a God who just sits on a portrait or a photo on our walls. God is God. He's the God of I am. In the Old Testament we see. And I don't think of another place we could be here this morning and this week that they preach the truth of who God is and the gospel of the truth of that living God. And still people don't understand the truth about who God really is. I do believe that God is a loving God. I do believe God is a God of mercy. I do believe God is a God of grace. But there's something more to it, people. That God, he's God of all. Bible says God is a holy God. He doesn't accept any unrighteousness. And Bible also say that, be holy because for I am holy. So God is a God of holiness. And God is a God of just. When was the last time we heard that God was a just God? Whatever he does, he does it righteous. And in his sovereign righteous purpose. And in his works, he does everything righteously. So we cannot just assume God has a little God and he's among one of the gods of this world. No, he is the God. And this God is holy. This God is righteous. As I said, people believe that God is loving God. Yes, I do believe. I believe in grace of God because where I am this today is not because of myself, but it was the grace of God which brought me here. But I still believe that God is a God of wrath. God is a God of judgment. And we lack the truth of God being just God and God being the God of wrath. And we just assume that God is a loving God and we can get away with what we're doing. So understand that God is a God of holiness. God is a God of wrath. God is a just God. You might think that I came here to preach to all the Christians. No. I was born in a Christian family, but never known Christ until Christ came to me. But you hear people sitting in a good place, in a privileged place where God dwells among you, and you come from a Christian neighborhood, Christian country, but still don't understand the truth of who God is. It is very sad, people, when you sit in the presence of God, when you go to church, call yourself a Baptist and sit in the first pew and don't know who God is. That is sad. So just understand that God is a God of holiness. God is a God of justice and God is a God of wrath. We sing this song all the time, Amazing Grace. Irrespective of what occasion it is, if it's a funeral, if it's a birthday party, if it's church, we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was found, but now I was blind, but now I see. As a growing boy, I never heard that song. We never had that hymn in our hymn book. First time I came to America, I heard that song. Man. Amazing grace. That grace was so amazing. That grace was so sufficient that I can enter in. And that grace taught me how to fear God. That grace kept me. So my sermon title for this morning is not you knowing God, but does God know you? Does God know you? And do you know the Lord of the Bible? We read the scripture portion in Luke chapter 16, where it talks about a rich man and a poor man. I don't know about you, but my Bible is in red color because these are very words spoken by the Lord Jesus. And I do not know of any other man in the scriptures. Jesus Christ himself spoke about the reality of hell and reality of the judgment and who God, who himself is, being a God of judgment. And he's a just God. Here he proves that there is a place called hell and there are people who are going to hell. But we just lack the truth about there is hell and there is life which we can live and it's okay, it's going to be okay. No. As sure as God is, there hell is. So the truth is, we are exposed to the one side of truth, but never was shown the other side of the truth. You cannot be shown take a coin and you cannot... You need to see both sides of the coin, right? But how we lack these days, that the truth is not preached in full extent. That there is only one side of God is shown, but the other side of God is not known at all. So you need to understand that there is a God who is just God and is a God of judgment. All through our lives, we are taught that God is a God of love. Yes. I like children when they say, I love the Lord because he loved me. Yes, I believe it. But our God is a God of wrath, people. Here we see in Luke 16 chapter that these two men lived a life. We are living a life too. But in Matthew chapter 7 says, straight is the gate, narrow the way. How much truth do we understand from that very verse? If I were to interpret it or to translate it in a more than evangelical terms, it'll be like this. The gate is narrow, but the way is broad. And you can try to get in. No. The Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow the way. Do not fall into assumption of who God is. Know the God of the Bible, and you shall be known. Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 talks about these two men. They are sons of the high priest, Aaron. And see what they have done. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of the Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. We're living today in a form of Christianity. Just assumption of who God is and playing in the presence of God. Here, these two men went into the temple without... They didn't worship God, but they put strange fire before the very presence of God. Guess what happened? Instantly, God devoured them from heaven. We are living in an assumption. Get out from that dream, people. No, God is real. I think it's a great blessing to be exposed to the gospel over and over and over and over. Yes, it is so blessing. Every time I hear the gospel, my soul rejoices, my soul is excited, but there's something more to it. The more you hear the gospel, there's danger in hearing gospel over and over and still be unconverted. You hear the gospel over and over and over and over, but still in the secret chambers of your heart reigns sin and sin alone. Why is it? Because there's just an assumption of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no true reality in your life. Do not assume that our God is a puny God. This rich man lived a lavish life. He enjoyed the pleasures of this world and the pleasures of his heart. He rejoiced in the circumstances going around this world. And he rejoices in the things of this world because he's got everything. And suddenly came one day the death. What happened? He was no more. Simultaneously, this beggar, Lazarus, he was sitting at the door. He was sitting, he didn't even have a chair to sit down, I believe. I don't know. People are infected with leprosy if you go to them. We have leper colonies in our country. I think I've been to leper colonies a couple of times, but you're not allowed to go there anymore. But when you go to a leper colony, You see, people stinking all the time. They stink. They rot inside. And I tell a story just about every people. But when I meet, when they ask about lepers, I say that one day we were going down the road, and I see a man laying on the street. He was sleeping. It was pretty night and dark. We go there, and we and this man had his hand on the road. So we were scared that he might get ran over with a car or something. So we went to pick his hand and put his hand back on him so that I can sleep nicely. So we went there. We didn't know that he was a leper. He was infected with leprosy. So we go and hold that hand to put it back on his chest. And when we touch that hand, hand comes apart. Scared the fire out of us. And we ran away from there. Then later we called the police and they did something. But leprosy is so bad and it is so ugly. And Bible says our righteousness is as same as a filthy rag. How different it is a leprosy than a filthy rag. So this man was infected or had leprosy, and he was sitting there, but he never cried, said, "Lord, why didn't you give me everything? Why didn't you give me that? Why did you give me leprosy?" And when he didn't say that. But he sat down there and praised God. Thank God for this life. Thank God for the truth. And Lord, when you came, Lord, when I sit down and on that road, I see you, God, in the reality, in the power. So I praise you, God, for that life. He never cried when the dogs came to him and licked his sores. He never cried. Here we are with perfect, good bodies. How much do we know that reality of God's presence and the reality of the gospel and the truth of the salvation and come boldly to God in thanksgiving and in praise? No, we don't do it because we just assume that there is God up in heaven. We can get by with Him. Sin reigns in our hearts, not because we sin, but it is sin, we are sinners by nature. When Adam fell, we fell in him. And that same sin reigns in our hearts, and we get so pride with that sin, and we boast in that sin, and we live in that sin, and just still assume that God is a loving God. No. How can you keep going on a different direction where God is on a different direction? No, you can't. So one day came, people, when these two guys died. It's not a story. It's a real event happened in the Bible. And Christ talks about it. I do not know when it happened. I don't even know if Lazarus and the rich man died instantly at the same day and same moment. I don't think. But they died eventually. You might not die today, but you will die one day. And when you die one day, you will be standing before the throne of God. And these two men went and stood before the Lord. I don't know. We're living in a generation, in the days, as I was talking to Brother Jim. He says, "Brother, Christ is coming soon." I said, "Amen, brother. We believe in Christ's imminence. He's coming so quickly that people are not even aware of. Look at the world. Look at the system of this world. Look at America. What do you think? What do you see? The sinful natures, the sinful acts, sinful pleasures going on around. What do you see? You see nothing but Christ coming to this earth very quickly. And the scriptures prophesied that He's coming. And thank God for the Spirit of God, whom we call the Holy Spirit, which abiding with us this morning. And I do not know when Christ comes, He will be taken from us. And there will be so much of wickedness, and this world will have no peace. What will you do, people, when you stand before the throne of God? In Revelation chapter 4, it says, we see the beast of the heaven standing before that throne. Matter of fact, there's nothing but the throne. I mean, there is nothing else but the throne, brother. I mean, when this life is over, when God opens the veil of eternity, when you see through it, when you peep through it, you see nothing but the throne of God and God Himself, and you'll be standing before that God. You won't be standing. I mean, you will be kneeling down. And the beast of the heaven and the angels, the beast and the whole the creation will be standing before that throne. And sun will be bowing, and stars will subject to Him. Don't we have a great God?
Yes.
Thank God for the God of the Bible.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him this morning? Or are you just living in a dream or an assumption that you know God? Don't act, young people. I'm telling you, life is like a vapor. It's the short life. In Old Testament, we see people living so many years. But look at today. Hardly people living about 60, 70s anymore. Unless the grace of God extends their lives. But we sang the song, when before the throne I stand in Him complete. If you do not know Christ Jesus, you cannot stand before Him complete. And He will not claim you as your child. And He will deny you before the whole creation. I like this story, Gladiator. I've never seen it, but I've heard of it. I might be wrong. Correct me on that. But there is a king who sits on his throne or a seat or something, and he has an open ground, right? And they start the game. They fight, I believe, right? And somebody gets lost. I mean, somebody's lost, somebody's won. But it depends upon the decision of the king. If he says that. That's how we're going to stand before that throne. Oh, when God says, you're over, it's over. And when eternity, when you see the veil open, when the death comes, and when you stand before the throne, when you stand before before that very God, and you will have no words to speak because you didn't know God. Because the truth was already preached to you over and over and over, and the gospel came to you in power in the Holy Ghost, but you never accepted it, never received it. What is the difference between Christianity and the other religions? I'll give you a small illustration. Hindus, where I come from, they go to a temple every morning. And they go to a god every morning. Monday, they go to some god. Next thing, they go to another idol. Next day, they go to another. Sometimes they go in the evening to a different god again. So every day, every time they go, they have to go with some kind of things in their hands, like coconut or a garland or incense or something. And something they take into that temple and offer it, or they don't do burn offerings anymore, but they still do occasionally. But they have to do something so that they can reach their God and say, God, I'm here, I came and I did my work, and I'm going back home. But what is the Christianity? Tell me. Christianity is nothing but God Himself left that throne, that palm, that glory, that the riches He had for you and me. He left it all, came to this earth, and was born in a what? Stable. In a manger. Isn't that truth? A God who is richer than kings and emperors left His throne, His very throne, and came to this world. Not only He came to the world, He died for you. He redeemed you so that you can go back to Him one day. And we hear people assuming that it was a story happened 2,000 years ago. It's not a fairy tale. That book is not some kind of novelty. No. It's truth. It's infallible Word of God. And when it speaks truth and nothing but the truth. And here we are assuming that there was something and there will happen something. No, it's truth. It's reality. I think death is the gate of eternity, brother. I don't know how to explain the death, because I've never been with anybody who died. But I've known people, even I talk to people and they say, brother, I've been with the man who died. He was just passing away. And what did you see, brother? They say, nothing. It's just a quiet piece of time. Their soul depart from their body. And there are no more. So death is a gate of eternity. If not death, Christ is coming. Not everybody has to die. We believe that Christ is coming very quickly. Very quickly. It's been 2,000 years. And I'm longing for that God to come and take me home. That I can enjoy His fullness and His fellowship with Him forever and ever. Isn't that your desire this morning? If you're assuming, don't live in that dream. Come to reality, man. Get up, wake up, guys.
Amen.
Yes. Don't continue in your sin. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. I love this this verse, chapter. It's very familiar, but the more I read, I like it. Isaiah chapter 6. We see a man named Isaiah, the prophet. He had a vision. It's not his vision, but God gave this vision to him. And he was caught up into that dream, and he goes where God dwelleth, in His very place. And when he stands in that dream before that Lord, guess what he saw? The first word says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And this man was in the presence of God, and he saw God sitting on His throne, and the angels surrounding Him were crying, holy. Here, holy, holy, holy is a word used in Hebrew. It's called Hebrew parallelism. When you stress a word in English, you bold it or you underline it. But in Hebrew, in Jewish culture, in their writings, they write it over and over. Holy, holy, holy. We don't see here, mercy, mercy, mercy. No, we don't see God is gracious, gracious, gracious. No, we see God as holy, holy, holy. And this man, Isaiah, stood before that holy God. And see what happened. Later we see, fourth verse says, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. that talks about the anger of God on the wickedness of the world and the wickedness of the people. Did you know that God is angry with you if you're still continuing to sin and still willing to continue? Your wrath, the wrath of God and the judgment of God is right upon your head and you don't even know it. And oftentimes we just neglect the truth of God being a just God and God being the God of wrath and God being the God of judgment, and we just continue to sin. Isn't that the truth? I mean, the gospel of Christ says that Jesus came and died, and when he died, Father turned his back upon him, and Christ suffered the wrath of the very God. He took it all. And we still continue to sin, knowing that Christ paid it all. And then I like fifth verse, where it says, When Isaiah saw God in his fullness, in his pomp, in his glory, in his holiness, in his righteousness, you know what he said? Woe unto me, for I am undone. When you hear the truth, the reality of the gospel, you know what you need to do? You need to get out of there and get into the dust and bang your head. That's what he did. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a sinner, O Lord. I do not deserve this. I do not deserve to stand in thy presence. And Lord, it's not me, O God, but it is Christ Jesus whom I hide myself. We sang this song this morning. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And before the throne, I stand in him complete. Jesus died. My soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. The first time I ever understood the gospel, I've heard gospel over and over like you all did, but I never came to understanding the truth, the reality of the gospel. And I remember when God saved me, he saved me miraculously. I was sitting there, I mean, I was on the right side, when a man came to preach the word of God, and I heard the voice of God so powerful, and the scriptures were so real to me, and it was not in the word only, but in power, much of Holy Ghost, and an assurance that I could not sit on that seat anymore. I said, I am getting out from this church building, and I'm running home or doing something. And when I sat there, when the man is preaching, I was so convicted, Brother David. I mean, I thought, I'm going away. I don't deserve this. I mean, the truth, when he talked about the grace of God being so real in life, and I understood it, and I sat there, and I was listening, and I said, no, this is not it. Then there was a door right next to that seat. I can get out of the room. At the church. So then I started putting my leg down to get up and go, brother. And when I put my leg down, it was so burning. I thought I was in hell. I thought, God, what is happening to me? Lord, don't go. Let me go to hell tonight. That God saved me tonight. And Lord, he answered my prayer that night. Amen. And I couldn't get up, but I could hold on to that seat. I said, oh Lord, do not leave me. But Lord, catch me. Hold me, Lord. Lest I fall into hell for eternity. Is that your desire this morning? Woe is me, for I am undone. I do not believe a man is saved unless he comes in repentance with God and begs God to save. When was the last time you asked God, begging God to save? Do you beg God? Do you plead the mercies of God? So I was glad that the word came that night, brother. And I had peace in my life, I mean, my heart a little bit. And I got up. Church was over. And we go to a house in motorbikes. We don't have cars in those days. So we got in that motorbike, and my dad started driving. And I sit right behind him. I said, "Dad, this is something happening to me, Dad. Something got hold of me. So, Dad, would you help?" He said, "Okay, son, let's pull over." We pulled over the road. And we pulled over the road right there. Didn't care if it was the rainwater. Didn't care what animals were looking at us, because we were passing through that wild forest. And it was a good road. So it was raining, I guess. I didn't care if there was water. So I just fell on my face on the road. And I begged God for mercy that night. I said, "God, save me tonight or I perish, Lord." That night, God saved me on the road. God is able to save anywhere. Not only in the church building, not only in the camp, but God can save you on the hilltop of the mountains where nobody dwells. That is the power of the gospel. Breaks heart. Power translates dunamos, right? It's dynamite. If you were to ask me, "Brother, why are you late this morning for the breakfast?" What if I said, "I was on the way to the room, and I had Brother Tim come in pulling the car out, and he ran over me." And if I said that, would you believe me? Okay. Now show me the wounds and show me the pains and the. And you can ask me, and I say, "No, I'm perfect." You cannot believe it. How come you listen to the gospel, and it is so powerful, and it can run over your life, and change your heart, and break your heart into pieces, and still live in the assumption of sin? Quit it. Get up. Rise up. Rise up, O my soul. Oh, beg God, people. Young people, listen to me. You're in the right place right now. I do not know. I do not know if I'll ever see you again, nor you will see me again. I do not know if Christ comes tonight or he might come in the next moment. I'm telling you, this is the right time. The gospel is open. The mercies is open unto you. And claim Christ Jesus. And come in faith and repentance and in belief. Turn away from your sin. This is the hour. This is the right time. Get up from your seats and bow in the altar. You don't have to bow in the altar, but you can bow before the Lord and beg, "Oh God, save me lest I die, lest I perish, oh Lord." He's merciful.
Amen.
He's gracious. He will hold your hand. 13 years old. I was lost. I didn't have hope. Dwelt among a bunch of idols, devils, demons, spirits. No hope, people. No hope. I'm telling you, there was no hope. My dad couldn't help me. My dad was a pastor, but still, he couldn't do anything for me. My mom, my friends, I had 15 friends roaming every morning with them. I used to walk down the streets like a crazy dude. They used to think this guy was a crazy man. Played music all day, went to different places and did some stupid things. There was no hope for me. I was going to hell. I was on the way to hell already, but thank God he stuck his nose in my business that night. I thank God, I glorify him this morning, that God he's good, he's merciful, he's gracious. If he can save a sinner like me, he can surely save a sinner like you. I begged God, people. It's not me, but it's God who did it all. And all to him I owe. What kind of price can you bring to God? But simply to the cross, I cling. And when one day I will go before the Lord and I stand before the Lord, I know it. And when I stand, God's going to open that book of Lamb's Book of Life. And those names are not found in there. we'll be casted into hell for eternity. But when he asked me, son, what did you do? You were in India. There was no hope in India. And there's no hope in your life, man. Why have you come here? Then I should say, Lord, I do not deserve this. No, I do not deserve. I don't deserve. I deserve hell. And I still glorify thee because Christ came into my life one day. He knocked the door of my heart. No, he didn't knock. He bursted out my heart. And he came inside and saved me by his grace. Yes. So I cling to him this morning. Amen. Do you cling to the faith, the truth of the Jesus Christ, that he is sufficient for me so that I can boldly go to the Father and say, Lord, I surrender myself in Jesus Christ. And in his name, I come and say, Lord, I owe myself, Lord, to you. The rich man died. And he was thrown into hell. 2016, he's still falling. That's the reason the Bible says it's a bottomless pit. He's still falling. And the hell opened his mouth wide. And he's going down and down and down. The fire's so powerful. And it's burning him. He's burning, but he never dies. He still continues to burn, and the deep he goes, he hears voices from hell crying out, oh, save us, somebody, but he's still falling. There'll be a day, my friend, if you do not accept Christ, if you do not receive Christ Jesus as your Lord, you will be falling in that same pit, which is prepared for devils and his angels. Oh, it's going to be horrible. I cannot imagine. I cannot even tell you how horrible it's going to be. But if I put the rich man here for 5 minutes, he will preach it all to this morning. Hell is real. As sure as God is, sure as heaven is, surely there is hell. And hell exists and is waiting for you, people. Young people, listen to me. Don't play with God. Don't play with the reality of the Word of God. Don't play with the gospel. When the gospel is given, receive it with humility. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the salvation. I am thankful, my people. I cannot explain how rejoicing I am this morning for the salvation. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth all sins. Amen. And his flesh, when it was torn for me, I thank God because I was in him and he was in me when he was on the cross. I was on his mind. And thank God so that I can cling to him this morning. And I can claim Christ as my all. Remember, there is nothing but the throne of God. And there's nothing but God. And you'll be standing. Wake up. May the Lord bless this time. Thank you again for this privilege. And I count it as a blessing. And my prayer, oh guys, prayer is God will save you. Aren't you thankful that God still is saving people? Yeah.